Quit.
Yeah, we're doing movie references, Teach Better Families. So we're gonna have a little bit of fun. I had the wonderful opportunity to have Kanishowski with me, and he was on fire this morning. So I'm so glad that he's joining me for the recap. But for our admin, if you didn't have a chance to join us this morning, we do this every week. Every Tuesday morning, we do a little recap. So that way, if you got called away on the radio or the campus had some type of crazy emergency happen, that you can always come back, get a little bit of insight from our discussion. So the month of September, we are working through student engagement. This is a time that we want to kick off the year in the right way in the classroom. Administrators are already in the classroom. They're viewing the wonderful things that are happening and some things that may need to be kind of reconstructed and enhanced. So Chad, I'm gonna ask you the first question and kind of get your insight. So we started with what are the most common distractions students face in today's classroom, and how can administrators or educators mitigate those distractions? So what were your takeaways from our first question?
We definitely spent a lot of time talking about like device distractions and things like that, how things like social media devices, cell phones are really taking away from the classroom environment. These conversations are always really interesting to me because they start with student actions, but they always end with adult solutions. And I think that's a lot of the way education works is our students live in this world where they are distracted with these devices, which like we all have right next to us right now anyway. And then we expect them to just like completely turn it off and listen because we told them to, without any other additional input or reason or value we're providing in some cases. So a lot of the conversation we had around this was really shifting from, yeah, we talked about logistical. How do we shut cell phones down? How do we lock them in lockers? How do we create policies? So, like, that's one side of the argument. And those are like school-wide, grade-level-wide, even classroom-level kind of decisions you can make. And that's perfectly fine. But when we're talking about engagement, I think the better solution, or and it's really a two-pronged solution, right? So those are actual things that schools and districts should talk about. But the other side is, are we giving kids a reason to engage in the first place? Because even if we decide, and this is kind of a good challenge question, even if we decide zero tolerance on cell phones, we're going to squash phones. There's not going to be a phone in existence in a 3 mile radius from the school for any student, which is ridiculous, but let's just pretend that for a second. My question as an administrator is, what are you going to do with this extra time and attention? Because if your answer is, I'm going to keep lecturing for 45 minutes and expect them to pay attention because I said so, that wasn't even a valid fight to begin with, because that was the wrong problem we were solving. Students have existed, especially through the pandemic, in a situation where they could change the channel. They could turn the screen off. They could mute their microphone. And we can't expect them to just come back into their classrooms and go, okay, I guess since I'm locked in this room, theoretically, I'm going to pay attention because you told me to. We have to meet them where they are. We have to give them a reason to be active in the learning process. And we have to give them a reason to engage in the first place. And if we're not providing any level of that value, we can expect them to just engage because they're supposed to. Those days are long gone, in my opinion. And I think a lot of these conversations about distractions and cell phones and things like that, I think it highlights some of those things, which is a lot of where the conversation went.
Yeah, so we talked about technology as a whole because it wasn't just cell phones, but now a lot of campuses are one-to-one after the pandemic, and so
Yeah.
they're finding other ways to, get on different social media applications and other things, games, whatnot, to find distraction. So I love the way the conversation went with as far as administrators helping teachers find a way to, be engaging. And Chad, will you talk through kind of what you were discussing it in regards to engagement, because I think there's a misconception of what that term is. Like we're not getting in the front and just like doing our song and dance for,
Yeah,
45 minutes here.
so a lot of times when we think about engagement, we think I'm going to hop up on the desk and do five cartwheels, and that's going to activate the engagement in my classroom. What to me, like you can do those things, and those are effective short term, right? Those are effective in the moment. But when I think about engagement, I think about providing real value to the learner, active participation by the learner, and ownership of the learner in the process of their own growth. So when we're talking about engagement, we really need to ask ourselves, who is the active party in this scenario? Because if the adult's the only active party and the students are just sitting there supposed to absorb like a sponge, that educational model has been disproven for about 100 years at this point. It's not a good strategy to be, well, sit there and absorb everything that's happening. And one of the things we shared this example in the meeting, one of the questions I told every administrator they can ask any teacher, or they can reflectively have them ask themselves, is if the students all left the classroom in a moment, right? If Thanos snapped his gauntlet and everyone disappeared from your, not in like a violent way, that's weird, I guess, but like if all the students just disappeared, could you still do your lesson? Could your lesson still happen from start to finish, or start to middle, or the first 15 minutes? Well, to me, first of all, that needs to be something you are internalizing and reflecting on and going, is this valuable for my learners? And are they required for this to happen? Because if they're not required, I can't expect them to engage in the process. As professionals, if we had to show up to work every day and someone said, hey, you don't need to actually teach your class as an educator, we're going to have this other person come in and teach your class, you just have to watch them and think about it, okay? You're eventually, like, it might be cool for a couple days as you're sipping on your Starbucks, but like eventually you're going to go, why am I here? Like, I'm not being productive. I'm not active in this process. So you're going to disengage. Well, we have that happen with students all the time. We don't ask them to participate. We don't have them active in the process. So they disengage because they're not getting value or growth from it. And then we complain that they're disengaged in getting on their devices or talking with their friends or so on and so forth. So to me, there's like a foundational principle of, yes, engagement, flashy, random acts of awesome are cool and they're fun, right? But when I talk about engagement, I'm more talking about an environment in which students are having their needs met, are able to participate, and are actively growing and buying into the process of learning every single day. And luckily, that's a lot of what we help teachers do on the team. But that's where we spend a lot of our time, because once you create that environment, all that other stuff starts to go away because they're actively engaged in learning. So the reduction of behavioral outbursts, distractions, or lack of engagement starts to naturally occur because students are actually getting value and engaged in the process.
Yeah, so we talked about like specific times and situations when student distractions may occur. And I loved where the conversation went, because, well, I geek out with schedules and master schedules with admin. So I kind of pushed it toward that direction. But someone had talked about, you know, scheduling an A, B day block and having different classes at different times, so that way people weren't, you know, stuck in this rote situation where, you know, maybe when the first part of the day starts, they're distracted, or after lunch, it's always hitting the same class. But you made a great point. I want you to expand on this, was not just filling time as a teacher with the 90-minute block, but actually filling the needs of the students.
Yeah, absolutely. So oftentimes when schools switch to these longer blocks, or they get to these different schedules, which make a lot of sense in terms of not having to do math at 8 a.m. every morning could be beneficial to the learning of a student doing math at 8 a.m. every morning versus maybe doing it after lunch when you've had the whole day to wake up and you're in a different mindset. And if you teach a first hour block in any school situation, you know that how engaged students are when they're half asleep versus how engaged they are at 10 or 11 a.m. is a totally different ballgame. Even behaviors change. So I first want to acknowledge, like, considering alternative schedules or things like that can be a solution to kind of hack the biological clock of the student to increase engagement. So that's actually one side of it. But the other problem that occurs, and this is kind of where the conversation went, was as soon as you mess with schedules, you have to deal with unions and adults and teachers who have to plan for those schedules. And working with schools across the country, literally in a bunch of different states, in a bunch of different grade levels, the number one thing I hear when I talk about block scheduling, or we talk about, or a school starting a different schedule, the number one concern teachers have is, how am I going to fill 120 minutes? How am I going to fill 90 minutes or keep students engaged for 90 minutes? And the reason, in my opinion, this happens is because the teacher is thinking of filling 90 minutes or entertaining for 90 minutes or lecturing for 90 minutes or talking for 120 minutes. Because if you are the only active participant for 120 minutes and you're dragging kids through the educational mud, so to speak, you are going to be having a miserable time. Because you know, especially after 15 minutes, they're going to stop listening. After 45 minutes, they're going to completely shut down. And then you're sitting there talking to no one for 45 minutes with nothing going on. That's a recipe for a really bad time, in my opinion. However, instead of filling the time, if we're facilitating active learning on the part of the students, time becomes an asset. Time becomes an added value we're getting so we can get more growth out of our students. And I think it was you or someone who even said that, like, the number one complaint teachers have is, like, they don't have enough time with their kids. And I think that's a great, great point, right? The number one thing teachers will say is, I've never had a math teacher go, I'm so glad I got through all the chapters this year, right? Like, that's never happened. So why then are we saying we don't have enough time, and then we give them more time, and then all of a sudden it's a problem? Well, that's because it's an adult problem, not an actual student problem. And I think the root of that problem is that instead of serving learners, we're worried about filling our responsibility as adults to entertain or fill time, when that's the wrong job description to begin with, right? Like, we're literally, like, not supposed to be just filling time. We're supposed to be facilitating learning, meeting kids where they're at, growing, pulling small groups, having interactive processes, working through things like grids or mastery progressions. The more time you have, the better in that situation. Of course, you still have to consider things like brain breaks. You can still intervene and do, like, whole group stuff in between there. But if you're facilitating learning, more time is an asset. It's not a punishment for the adult.
No, I think that's a great point. And that's exactly where the conversation is going to go next week. So if you weren't able to join in this conversation of student distractions, you know, we're going to do the other side of the coin next week, which is the student engagement strategies. And Chad, you've already kind of touched on it, so I'm super excited to even dive in further on that topic. And of course, every Tuesday morning, we are available for you as far as the Teach Better team and other administrators around this country. And Chad, it was such a pleasure to have you a part of this conversation this morning.
Always, babe.